ago, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. By all means, get a backstage pass and enjoy these shows, not just as audio instruments of entertainment, but you can also watch our live video cast every night here from the El Pacifico. As you see the roiling, boiling, rolling surf behind me, and I'm wearing a, I wouldn't call it a Hawaiian shirt. Well, there's palm trees on it, so, well, just because there's palm trees on it, does that mean it's a Hawaiian shirt? It could be a California shirt. It could be a Florida shirt. Any shirt with any shirt where there's palm trees, any state where there's palm trees, there's bound to be a shirt with palm trees on it. Maybe even in New York. Maybe even Rhode Island. Anyway, New York has passed the very first gun control law since the unfortunate events at Newtown, Sandy Hook. Jumping out ahead of Washington, New York State enacted the nation's toughest gun restrictions Tuesday and the first since the Connecticut school massacre, including an expanded assault weapon ban and background checks for buying ammunition. Background checks for buying ammunition. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the measure into law less than an hour after it won final passage in the legislature, with supporters hailing it as a model for the nation and gun rights activists condemning it as a knee-jerk piece of legislation that won't make anyone safer and is too extreme to win support in the rest of the country. Of course, I'd have to read the legislation. I'll bet you it's nowhere near as extreme as some people think. One of the things I guess about gun rights people is it's not so much the extremity of the measure as viewed by most of us. I think it's seen as extreme by real active gun rights people, meaning, and I don't know what that is, but people that are right there in the wheelhouse of advocating for gun rights every day, I guess any restriction seems extreme. But we'll see. Owners of an estimated 1 million previously legal semi-automatic rifles, such as the Bushmaster model, which was used to kill 20 children and 6 adults in Newtown, Connecticut a month ago, will be allowed to keep their weapons, but will have a year to register them with police. The sale of any more such weapons is now prohibited. This is a semi-automatic rifle. Now, as I understand it, a semi-automatic rifle is anything that you just keep pumping the trigger and it's firing bullets. It doesn't necessarily mean when you squeeze the trigger, all kinds of, you know, it's like it becomes a machine gun of some kind or automatically fires rounds that way. It's just that you're not having to cock the weapon. It simply is reloading. It's cocking and reloading on its own, as I understand. And maybe, Dan, you're a guy that owns a massive amount of weapons. You've got an arsenal up there. What are you? I'm kidding. But am I right about that? Okay. Thank you. So when we talk about a semi-automatic, we're not saying squeeze the trigger and it can become an automatic machine gun type weapon. That's not the case. We're talking about a weapon that does not need manual cocking to drop a, you know, bullet into the chamber and have it ready to fire. When there's a pileup of events, when the federal government does not do it, the state of New York has to lead the way, said State Assemblyman Joseph Lentil, a Brooklyn Democrat and a co-sponsor of the measure. In addition to outlawing a broader array of military-style weapons, the measure restricts ammunition magazines to 7 rounds, down from the current 10, creates a more comprehensive database of people barred from owning guns. What is that? And makes New York the first state to require background checks to buy bullets. That's kind of interesting. That maybe alone was all they needed, but I don't know. The system will also help flag customers who buy large amounts of ammo. Now, we're going to have David G. Hall is going to join us, our vice president of syndication here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, in just a moment. I also am given to understand that there are certain kinds of weapons that can be modified into becoming semi-automatic. Is that correct, Dan? Do you know enough about the world of the cannot? Okay, it's not an easy thing. So all right, so that's interesting to know as well. So this weapon, the Bushmaster, and weapons like it will not be available for purchase in the state of New York ever again, or maybe up to a certain point. People that still own them may own them if you have one now, but it has to be registered with police. So the sale of any more such weapons is prohibited. And everybody's saying the same thing, and I will say it too. Okay, I get it. Now you can certainly bring one of these into New York State. And who's going to know you got it? You're right. If you're a young person and you have a emotional or a mental problem, such as, for instance, Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, the Columbine guys, you will get your weapon no matter how you have to get it. As you know, they purchased their guns illegally. Even though it wasn't about guns, for those two guys, it was about bombs. And so I'm not really sure, but I guess if it makes people feel better, what do you want me to say? Same thing with the bullets. David G. Hall is on the line with us here from one of the fitness centers there in, you working out, David?
As a matter of fact, I am, Phil. I stopped off here from the office.
Where are you?
I'm in South Pass.
Okay, you wanted to talk with me and with other hosts, people that you work with, about the gun legislation, but even a broader issue of talking about the horrible events of that day?
Well, no, what I wanted to talk to you about, and I wanted you to put me on the air, and I appreciate it very much, because I want your listeners to understand that I'm not keeping anything from them. The more that you talk about this, Phil, the more that you talk about not only the terrible events at the school, and I don't want to use the name of the school, but also the more you talk about the legislation, the more you put a crimp in Second Amendment rights.
And wait. Well,
let me just finish here. I shouldn't say Second Amendment. The more you put the conversation keeps going and going and going, and the impetus for gun control legislation becomes much more. Now, I let me just say this. You have a right to your opinion. Everybody has a right to their opinion. We are not here to advocate on behalf of the NRA. We're not here to advocate on behalf of the gun control people. We're here to be objective, and that's all that I would ask of you, Phil, and anybody that that I'm associated with, any of the on-air talent I'm associated with. It just so happens that you and people, I will say hosts like you, are talking about the school and what happened there and the subsequent efforts to not have that happen again a lot. You're over and over and over, and I'm asking you, do you have a definite finite cutoff date? Will there be a day when you'll stop talking about it? That's all that some of the prospective advertisers I talk to want to know.
All right. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Why do you need to know this?
Because I've got, there's a concern on my part and on a lot of listeners, especially to talk radio, that the more you talk about it, the more the ball is rolling on this gun control thing. We've got a Second Amendment in this country.
I understand that.
All right. And the more you talk about the event...
We're talking about Sandy Hook. We're talking about Newtown.
See, that's what I was hoping.
But it has a name, and there were children.
I understand. If you could just not bring that up, and let's talk about the gun... What I'm trying to do is just...
You don't want me mentioning any names, anything that happened?
I would appreciate it if you didn't. Because, again, it's very hard for me to...
Let's take a break and take another run at this, David, okay?
Right.
David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for the world-famous Phil Henry Show, talking about this latest legislation in New York State that would control ammunition, control the use of these semi-automatic weapons in the case of this this particular kind of gun, prohibit the sale of these. It is the first comprehensive gun control measure passed in the country since that terrible day in Connecticut. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and for those of you watching Phil TV in HD, you just saw me waving the Phil Hendry coffee mug there in front of you, and it is available online at philhendryshow.com. It's a great... This isn't just some cheesy coffee mug. This is a cappuccino mug, black with a yellow sunburst logo of the Phil Hendry Show. And the sunburst logo is not coming through on our Phil TV in HD. It's actually transparent because of the green screen. That's what causes that. David G. Hall is joining us. We're talking about the legislation in New York State, very strenuous legislation in New York State that would make the AR-15 illegal, and for those who own this semi-automatic weapon, you may hold on to it, but you will have to register it with police. It also makes the selling of ammunition something that is subject to a background check. It also makes the selling, the purchasing of an enormous amount of ammunition something that flags you and is reported to the police. So there are, you know, there's definitely a tighter... more stringent look at the sale of at least these two things, the AR-15 and the ammunition that goes with it. And to me, David, that doesn't sound, I'm sorry, it doesn't sound like a lot.
You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, Phil, because you're not a, you know, I understand you own a shotgun, but you're not a, I would not say you're a gun activist, a gun rights activist.
But I do support the Second Amendment.
There comes a time, I think, when you say you support the Second Amendment, but you are saying that you support this gun, this restrictions in New York, and I wonder just exactly if you're being honest. Allow me to just say this.
I am being honest.
All right, allow me to say this. I think you're entitled to any opinion you've got, and you're on a talk station, and you're on it, and you do a talk show. But the more you talk about the gun restrictions, the gun legislation, the gun control efforts, the more you keep that on your radio show, the more people talk about it. And I'm speaking just as a private citizen, as a gun owner, and as someone that owns a semi-automatic.
I shouldn't ask you this.
Go ahead.
How many do you own?
Well, okay, you're right. I don't want to answer that.
So more than one?
I do not want to answer it. And frankly, I feel it is my constitutional right.
Even if it were illegal to own more than one, or
I don't want to talk about it. All I'm saying to you is this, and I wish, you know, I would like people out there, you know, there's a spin in court. You can say disregard the last. I really wish we could do that on a talk show because it wasn't really a fair question.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to separate, David, for a moment, my opinion from yours. I thought that you and I sort of roughly agreed that there is no way that the Second Amendment, you can't roll back gun rights, and I believe in them. Now, I thought you kind of also agreed that there should be some level of control.
I do. What I'm saying is you keep talking about it on the air.
So your issue is me talking about it.
My issue is you not even talking about it. My issue is you talking about it all the time. Every time I turn that...
Well, I'm not talking about it all the time.
No, I know, but every time I turn the radio on to any talk show, there's somebody talking about gun control, everywhere I go. And I'm saying that, you know, this is tough for me because I believe in talk radio, but it's also, I guess I'll just use the word, it angers me that I'm hearing all of this liberal discussion and gun rights are going to go right down, if I permit me to say, the crapper, as we used to say.
Yeah, but you're not talking to me now as a broadcast executive. You're talking to me as just a gun rights advocate.
No, I'm talking to you as a broadcaster. No, you're getting it all wrong.
Yes, you are, because you're saying that you're hearing too much of this talk and it's making you angry.
Yes.
It's making you angry as a broadcaster?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me from the standpoint of a broadcaster why all this discussion of gun control makes you angry.
Because I believe that I have a responsibility as a broadcaster to help people who agree with me as a private citizen. If I'm a private citizen and I believe in the Second Amendment and I believe that it's being threatened by some of this gun control legislation, okay, Phil?
Yeah.
And I'm a broadcaster, then I can do something about it. I can tell the hosts that I work with to lay off, you know.
Well, that's not accurate.
Why not?
Because you can't tell me. You can't tell anybody.
No, I know that, Phil. Look, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to give the impression that you're your own man. You're going to do what you want to do. Good for you. I'm just saying I have a little bit of pull. You know, I can sit down with you, can't I?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I can have a cup of coffee.
Sure.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I can sit down and say to you, you know, I need for you to back off of this topic because as a broadcaster, I think it's boring, but I also think that as a private citizen, I'm a gun rights advocate, you're hurting me, Phil. And so I want you to stop.
Okay, and let me just say, if you and I were having that cup of coffee, I don't think it's boring, and I'm not going to stop.
And all right, well, in that instance, then I say to you, you know, good luck making any money this quarter. I can't sell your show.
What does that mean?
It means that if there's, you know, I do have some rights. As what I'm saying is this. I'm not trying. All I'm saying to you is this. If you're going to keep on talking about it, why should I go out and make the effort at selling your show?
So this is a blackmail thing.
Oh, No. Hold on, Phil.
No, wait a minute. Yes, it is. Because if I'm talking about something and I'm giving an opinion that you don't like, I'm talking about gun control legislation.
I don't like the word blackmail.
Well, all right, let's not use that word. But what do you call this? I'm talking about this. You don't like what I'm talking about. You sit down, have a cup of coffee with me, and you say, wow, Phil, if you keep talking about gun control.
No, I didn't say if you keep talking about gun control.
All right, if you keep. Yes, you did.
But also, you're expressing an opinion about it that I don't like. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all right. And so, therefore, you're not going to sell my show.
It is going to impinge on my ability. I didn't say I'm not going to.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't, Phil. I think your audience will back me up on this. I said it will impinge on my ability to sell a show. I am going to be listening to you basically taking food out of my... You're talking about gun control, and I am getting... That affects me mentally. It affects me emotionally.
What are you telling me that it gets you so depressed? Me talking about gun control that you just don't have the get up and go out and sell airtime.
I wouldn't put it that way. I would, you know, that sounds a little silly, and it sounds like you're mocking what I do for it. And I know you wouldn't want to do that.
All right, put it your way.
If I hear you talking about gun control, and I hear you talking about how this legislation and that legislation, it feels to me like I've got another mountain to climb that I've got, like it's not even worth it, you know, and if I've got another show, I might as well go and sell another show because I'm not going to make any headway with you talking all of this stuff. How is that blackmail? I'm just stating to you.
You're telling me that because I have a certain opinion...
I'm having a physical reaction.
No, David, you're saying that you don't have any get up and go, you can't... You know.
No, if you're. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you talk about gun control too much, I get depressed because I don't agree with that.
See, that to me, that's not a physical reaction.
Yes, it is. It is a chemical depression. And I would point you to the works of your the man. You know, Hamlin Emery. I mean, he's published on this.
Yeah, Dr. Emery's published a lot of stuff. He's never said that when you get bummed out because somebody.
I didn't say bummed out. I'm not using those kinds of terms.
No, but if you get depressed because someone is saying something on the radio that you don't agree with, and that means that you're not as motivated to do your job that day, that's biochemical. Everything's biochemical.
Bingo, thank you.
But that is not something brought on by just a haphazard biochemical reaction. That's you getting bummed out that I'm not saying something you agree with, and so therefore you've decided not to go out and work as hard selling my show.
That I'm making here, though.
Isn't that what you said?
I don't agree with that, no. The point that I'm making...
You don't agree with that?
No, the point I'm making, if I can finish, is that you're talking about gun control. You're talking about... You never... Not you, but these guys, they never shut up about gun control. We gotta stop, because people who were formerly gun rights advocates, now they're turning into gun control, and it's got to end. And that's why I asked you, have you got a date set when you're going to just shut up about this?
No, I do not. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication for our radio show. He's at you're at the fitness center. Is that I don't want to give the name of the place.
Oh, that's all right. It's 24-hour fitness in South Pennsylvania. I am here and working out as I like to do, Phil, after work. I know it's late, but, you know, you get to where you go when you can.
All right.
And I just to say, because the last couple of nights I've been on, and we've had Jeannie's been on the show, and she's here with me. She does working out.
This girl sounds serious.
She sounds serious as what? As a weightlifter? Or?
No. I'm sorry. It sounds like you're serious about her.
Yeah, she's not listening. Well, you've got listeners. You've got women listening, I guess. But yes, sure.
Well, all right, that was a big maybe.
She's a very nice lady. She's a very nice lady. She's very, obviously, she's very beautiful. She's got, she's got a great personality and everything. So getting back to the...
Getting back to the gun legislation, all right. I wanted to ask you, David, the NRA talks about strengthening mental health reporting and focusing on criminals. I don't want to ask anything specific about what they mean. What do you think they mean, and do you agree with that?
Well, I think I know what they mean. They mean that if a doctor is treating someone like this guy in Aurora, this guy Holmes in Aurora, and the doctor in that case was looking to report this guy. He wanted people at the school to know, or she, I think, was a female doctor.
I believe it was.
Yeah, she wanted to report to the school. She wanted to get the news out. She wanted to get the word out that this guy was not playing with a full deck. And so she did not really have any outlet for that. She tried to get the letter. It wasn't read, because I believe in gun rights, it's a little tricky. I don't want her to feel like she's... I don't want any doctor to feel like they've got to report somebody, because that will automatically impinge on the gun rights of the person that they want to report.
Wait. Right, look, if you said... Do you think... Let me ask you this, okay?
All right.
Do you believe that it should be mandatory for a doctor to report anyone that is being... let's say, treated for psychosis?
No, I do not.
You do not think it should be mandatory?
No, I do not. I think it should be voluntary. And I think that the doctor knows better than the federal government who is so sick that they're dangerous. So I think it should be voluntary by the doctor.
What if the law said you're required to report? So, in other words...
No, you're not required.
No, I'm just saying you're required to report somebody if you feel they're dangerous. It doesn't have to be being treated for psychosis. It doesn't have to be, you're giving them antipsychotics. It just means if you feel in your heart, in your professional opinion...
I'm not comfortable with that.
You're not comfortable with what?
I don't want any federal government extending their reach into the rights of gun owners.
How is that doing that?
Because you're making the doctor... You're saying to the doctor, if you feel, okay, now this doctor now has carte blanche to reach into the life of the gun owner that she's treating and destroy it because she may be prejudiced against gun owners. She may be mentally ill herself. She may have, maybe her ex-husband owned guns and she hates his gun. You know what I'm saying?
Wait. How does she know the guy she's treating has guns?
I think they're going to make that assumption. I think if the law gets passed and they say, You are required as a psychiatrist to report anyone who you, in your professional opinion, you think is dangerous. She knows or he knows, oh, well, that means guns. And I don't like guns. I'm a psychiatrist, and these are people that tend to be liberal, and they tend to be mostly, you know, liberal and on the East Coast. So if you've got any West Coast psychiatrists, well, I guess they're liberal too, but they would tend to be probably liberals that are more of a Wild West kind of liberal. You know, they own guns. They're
Well, all right, but never mind the region of the country. So you're telling me that by saying to them...
I'm saying to them, you are required by law, if in your estimation the person is dangerous, to report them, gives them now a full playing field, if you will, Phil, nothing but green to the end zone, for them to return that interception all the way to the end zone and screw with a gun owner's life. Now,
I don't see that. You know, I don't understand that at all. Screw with a gun owner's... If a guy is psychotic, if they're treating him for psychosis, and the doctor thinks this guy's dangerous, you know...
Well, first of all, if they're treating the guy right, okay, then they're giving him the medication that he needs. Now he's not dangerous anymore.
And do you think that guy should be able to buy guns?
If he's not dangerous...
So a guy who is a psychotic and is being treated for psychosis...
Yeah, and he's taking his medicine. What, I don't understand. All of a sudden, someone that is sick...
David, you know as well as I do...
Well, hold on. Every time somebody says to me, you know as well as I do, that means, no, I don't. Okay?
All right, let me just say this. People that are psychotic, people that have these kinds of problems often stop taking their medicine. If they're schizophrenic, whatever. They often stop taking their medicine. They feel better. Bipolar people do the same thing. And they're feeling great. Why am I taking this medicine? I feel fantastic. I don't need it. They stop taking their medicine, and then the next thing you know, you've got a police situation, or in the very least, you have a person that is out of control out there in the world, you know, scaring themselves or, you know, or hurting themselves, you know.
Well, you see, now you say hurting themselves, and what you really mean is they're going to hurt you. See, you're taking a very dangerous point of view there, Phil. You're saying that this person is, well, I don't want to mess with their guns, and I don't want to, but they may hurt themselves, you know, and...
I'm not. I'm just saying, you know,
I'm just saying that ever since that phrase got into popular use here a while back, just saying, it allows people to sound stupid and then tack on just saying so that they can sound stupid, but they sound like they're a smart guy trying to be just a regular guy when in fact they're an idiot.
And what do you take me for?
I don't think you're an idiot.
All right, let me finish. A guy who is being treated for psychosis, and he's taking his medicine, and he is now not symptomatic, and he's going through...
Well, let's not get too fancy.
I have to. We're talking about... He doesn't have the symptoms of a psychotic. I mean, he's not, you know... And now he's fine, and the world is a beautiful thing, and he's going to work, and he's interacting with his wife, he's taking his medicine, he's being responsible... You think that guy should be allowed to buy guns, all kinds of stuff?
Why is that hard to understand?
I just told you sometimes folks like that stop taking their medicine.
All right, so you want to reach right into his life and say, because we think you may be a scumbag, even though you act like a normal man...
I wouldn't use the word scumbag.
No, you wouldn't use it, but that's what he's thinking. He's thinking that the government thinks I'm a crawling scumbag because I take medicine for an illness. Phil, I thought we had moved past those days. That's 18th century bedlam thinking. That's the movie, if you ever saw the movie with Boris Karloff, where the insane, where these gibbering... This is different from what we're talking about now. These people back in this movie, Bedlam, were gibbering lunatics. And today we have psychotic people that are being treated with medicine. Back then they had these chattering lunatics that crawled around on the floor. You don't, you know.
Well, yes, David, they're the same kind of people.
Well, I think you're insulting the people that we've got today.
Well, the people we've got today are acceptable lunatics?
No, I didn't say that, Phil. I said...
Well, what you're saying to me is the following thing, that that somehow we are going back in time... to a day of the lunatic asylums, that if we refuse gun ownership to a man who's being treated for psychosis, we are no better than the people that run Bedlam. We are, in other words, not, we're not scientific.
Yes, we're just nothing more than zookeepers. We're nothing more than wardens keeping these chattering, jabbering lunatics and imbeciles chained to a wall. And
I don't see them that way, and I don't think anybody who is a modern human being sees them that way. And I got to tell you, you haven't addressed the problem that we're talking about. And
well, hold on for a minute. Hey, that's my bench. Yeah. Now I want to do some. I want to do some curls. Yeah. You too, stud. How do you like this guy? Guy walked over, and says, "Huh?" And that's my girlfriend too. Stand by, Phil. I may have to kick somebody's ass. What?
David.
Now, hold on. Hold on. What? That's my girlfriend. That's my bench. And you look like, you know, Lex Luthor. Good for you. You got a bald head. What? Stand by, Phil.
Hey, David.
Hold on, will you? What about it? Yeah. I don't know. I may be here. I may be here 5 minutes. I may be here for an hour. Well, because I'm on the radio right now. I'm talking on the radio.
David, you know.
Hold on, God Almighty, will you?
I'm on the air.
All right. You know what you're doing right now, pal? You're bothering me. I'm on the air with Phil Hendry. You're bothering me. I'm on the radio, and, well, the sooner I get done with this interview, the sooner I get on that bench and I do those curls, and then you may have it, if I decide that you can. Yeah. Yeah, see you later. How do you like that?
David, you can't. I'm on the air. I don't give a damn what's going on. I've got to get this thing moving, and now I'm into a break, okay?
I'm sorry, but the guy was talking to Jeannie like he thought, hey, look at this. I think I'll tag this. I don't see it. I don't see anybody's name stenciled to it, so I had to claim ownership of her. Then I had to say that...
Yeah, we are, and hold on. Had to claim ownership of her. We'll be right back, David G. Hall, on the... tracking the people who are mentally ill. And that whole conversation just escaped me. We'll be back. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. I thought I already talked to you. I said, this is my
bill. You're listening to the world famous Bill Henry.
I didn't know.
He's got a dog, and I don't know if you know about these dogs. It's called a, it's a little dog called a, hold on for a minute. Hey, Don.
Hey, David, I'm going to have to hang up.
I'm sorry. But anyway, Jeannie's got this dog, and I can see. See, she just went. Can I just say this? She got up to go and get something to drink. This guy's standing there staring right at her ass. You wouldn't do anything?
I'd probably just get her and get the hell out. You know, I just probably would just say, you know, let's move. Is he staring at her ass, or does he want the bench?
He wants the bench. He wants my bench, and she's next to me. He wants that bench. So he's standing. Now he's moving off. Now he's looking at another. See, it's none of my business, but he's looking at another chick's ass. Now he's looking at another chick's ass. They have a, Phil, I'll tell you what's going on.
I don't want to keep track of this, all right?
All right, hold on, but they're doing an aerobics class here. And the women are, you know how they look, right? They're bouncing their rear ends up and down, and he's just standing there staring at every ass. Jeez. If I was a boyfriend of any of these.
All right, David, so anyway, you're lifting weights, good for you. Now, let's get back to this final minute here, final few minutes, and talk about the notion of this, what the NRA wants. We were talking about mental health, and we're talking about control of criminals. And you don't necessarily agree with any of this.
No, I do agree with it, but it's not what you think. We just don't want to, I don't want to mess, and this is very hard for people to understand, I don't want to mess with the rights of mentally ill people to own a gun. I know it sounds strange.
Strange? It doesn't even sound responsible.
Well, why are you judging people who are, in the old days, they used to call them lunatics. Why are you judging the lunatic?
And you're judging the lunatic.
How?
You're calling him a lunatic.
That's because he is.
Why would you want him to have a gun?
That's what you misunderstand. I didn't say I wanted him to have a gun. I'm simply saying it's not my business if he's got one or not. I don't want to know. And
you don't want to know until that guy picks that gun up and walks into a place where there's a lot of people and starts firing. That's when you're going to know whether you want to know it or not.
I think that's very cruel. That's not fair.
And well, not fair. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. Let's take a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How are you doing, Phil?
Good.
What's the name of this guy that I'm talking to?
I'll tell you. My name's David G. Hall.
David G. Hall. All right. My name is Lloyd Bonafide. I'm a Korean War veteran. And I've been on Mr. Henry's show many, and I've heard you on the show. Now, you referred to an individual who has a mental illness as a gibbering, babbling lunatic. Did I say that?
What?
I said I was listening to the program.
Right, I got that.
Maybe if you weren't in the gymnasium and being a busybody with a guy looking at your girlfriend or whatever, you could hear what I'm saying.
Nobody stares at my girlfriend's you-know-what, sir.
Your girlfriend's ass? Because I heard you say that.
Well, I don't know that I want you saying it. Phil, if you have a point, sir,
I do have a point. What are you asking for help from Phil for?
Because I'm simply saying...
Lloyd, what was your question, sir?
All right, here's my question. Are you saying to me and to the people listening to this program that it's all right with you if an individual who is half out of his mind owns an automatic weapon? Is that all right with you?
No, sir, it is not all right with me.
And I'm a Korean War veteran, and I want you to know it's not all right with me either.
And I thank you for your service to the country. It is not all right with me. The difference is, I can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it. Why not?
Because we are only as good, sir, as our weakest citizen.
Don't give me a speech. I want to know why you don't think the federal government could do anything about it. I don't want a speech.
I don't want you to cry.
I'm not crying. I'm getting very frustrated.
All right, let's not yell. I think it's a very good question, David. You know, what exactly can we do then? You say that you don't want, quote, lunatics to have automatic or whatever kind of weapon, and yet you don't feel you can do anything about it. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Bill, what you're hearing is the following.
Well, why don't you answer the man?
Well, hold on for a minute.
Yeah, hold on. Just a moment, Lloyd.
What you're hearing, here's what I'm saying. I value the Constitution of the United States. I value this gentleman here, Lloyd, for going off and fighting for this country. I do. I respect it, I value it, and I would never dishonor it. I value the Bill of Rights and the rights of all Americans, and I value them so much that even if I have to suffer to use the word we were using, and I don't, but a giggling maniac, if I have to suffer let me underline the words, a giggling maniac with his face painted and wearing God knows what kind of crazy costume, holding a fully automatic, not fully automatic, but semi-automatic weapon, with a big smile on his face like he's having a day at Disneyland, then I've got to bite down on that towel. I've got to bite down on that pillow. I've got to chew on that towel until it's in tatters.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll bet you're pretty good at that, too.
Well, I'm not going to comment. That's the most childish thing.
Well, you're talking about pillow biting.
You know...
All right, okay, hold on. That's a pretty clear statement, Lloyd, what he just said there. What would be your response?
Well, I gave you my response. I said that this guy sounds like a pillow biter from way back.
You got to insult me. Do you have anything you want to say of substance?
Yes, sir, I do have something to say of substance. What you just said there, that you would, because you honor the Constitution of the United States so much, you would rather see I wrote the words down, a gibbering imbecile wearing a metal jockstrap.
I didn't say that at all. I said a giggling maniac with his face painted.
I'm sorry, sir. I thought I heard the gibbering imbecile wearing some kind of a metallic or wrought iron jockstrap.
No. It doesn't make any difference. What you're saying, David, is that a lunatic loose on the streets with a gun is somehow what we are destined to have to suffer in order to maintain our rights. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say it that way, because the way you just said it now makes me sound like I'm a maniac. Okay? And that's not what I said.
Well, that's exactly what you said, and that's how you sound.
No. I said that I value the freedom of this country so much that a squinting, a squinting, fidgeting, and quivering lunatic with one eye and with a tendency to... wearing skin-tight pants.
Mister, you sound like a horse's ass.
Phil Hendry.